All right. Well, this is just a very quick overview of some of the select key federal whistleblower statutes. You can see there's quite a few dating all the way back to 1863. Now, we've talked about these in more length at our in our paper, which is accompanying this presentation. And I want to particularly bring your attention to the different statute of limitations that apply for a lot of these different whistleblower acts. But we're not going to really cover these in detail because we've got some other ones that are a bit more interesting. Austin, is there anything else you want to say about these statutes?
You know, one note for everybody, and it's kind of a hodgepodge of protections, right? But just from the plaintiff's perspective, when you get a call and, you know, the call is oftentimes a long narrative of stuff. My boss is mean and Sally told Johnny, et cetera, et cetera. Also, we were dumping toxic chemicals into the waterway. Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. What was that last thing again? Right. And so watch out because some of these statute of limitations are super duper short. They follow the OSHA general statute of limitations, which is 30 days. That is, for a plaintiff, no time, right? And think of your next 30 days and all the things you have to do. If you got to onboard a new matter, make sure you have your arms around it and make the complaint. That's a lot to do. And people don't call you the day of the termination. They call you generally later. So just beware. Stuff like Clean Air Act, toxic substances, the Toxic Substances Control Act have 30-day statute of limitations. So traps abound. Be sure to consult the paper, your desk guide. Make sure you've got statute of limitations calendared.
All right, let's quickly cover some of the new whistleblower protection statutes. One that was enacted in 2019 was with the Taxpayer First Act, protected employees from retaliation regarding employees reporting tax fraud. And what we want to do with this is we want to outline a couple of key things. The statute of limitations, which again varies from statute to statute, the different remedies that are available, and then very importantly, the causation standard that's used for that particular type of retaliation claim. Many of you are probably very familiar with the but-for causation standard that's very common to most employment litigation. But this particular act uses what's called the contributing factor causation standard, which we're going to talk about considerably more under when we discuss the NDAA. Let's move on. Oh, and by the way, I did a quick search and I couldn't find any cases actually litigating this statute yet. So, but it's still relatively early.
Drew, I'm familiar with the but-for and I'm not a humongous fan of it. Do you have thoughts about the differing causation standards just as 20,000 feet in general?
Sure. Well, again, as a defense lawyer, what I'm going to want to focus on is just proving, hey, the reason the employee was terminated was this reason. We have really good documentation explaining why. But the question is, if who has the sort of burden of proof and what does the employee have to do to create a fact question about this? And the contributing factor says that the employee doesn't necessarily have to prove but for, but what they do need to do is they need to show that there was at least knowledge of the whistleblowing and that the whistleblowing occurred before the termination or any type of other retaliation. So it's a much easier causation standard for the plaintiff's attorney to prove.
True story. Let's talk a little bit about some new stuff. Still the wrong whistle. Brand new whistleblower statutes, Drew. I can't be more excited. And these passed not in the current administration, but in the waning days of the prior administration. Can you believe it? It's true. We don't have a texified way to say these statutes yet, so I am going to create one. CAARA is now the CARA, and AMLA is the AMLA. Not the AMLI, where some folks live, apartment complex, but the AMLA. The CARA is antitrust, and the AMLA is money laundering. Brand new exciting statutes, two in a row, like Brooks and Dunn, like chocolate and peanut butter. We got two new ones to work with here. AMLA is super interesting, y'all. It has a bounty hunting provision, a reward system for tips related to money laundering financial crimes. The prior law had something like it. It was in the Bank Secrecy Act, BSA, but the whistleblower rewards were capped at $150,000. I was told there would be no math, but 33% or 40% or 25% of $150,000 isn't going to put one of my kids through college. Now, the AMLA removes the award, the cap to the awards. Awards are now up to 30% of penalties on any action that exceeds $1 million in penalties. So it has to be, you know, a big enough action, but no cap on the award. According to the American Bar Association, how many penalties are out there in the last 5 years? Anyone want to take a guess?